Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, podcast. You are listening to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast.
Hey.
Good evening, podcast audience. I forgot I had my music loaded, but this is your podcaster, Ken Hodge, and welcome to a special event podcast on injury compensation that's designed to give you the information you need to get the care that you are entitled to. Now, listen, if you know Kenny Hodge, you know when I'm not the subject matter expert on an issue, I will find the subject matter expert and bring them to our audience. Well, tonight I found such an expert. You may be familiar with the gentleman I'm about to introduce from Facebook. He and his wife host the Wednesday night podcast, Wednesday night injury compensation chat. None other. If I had like a drum, I'd do like a drum roll or something. But I got Chris Helms, Chris and Jeannie Helms from Federal Injury Centers here to share with you a level of information that's going to be easy to digest and is going to be life-saving to you in many occasions. Hey, welcome to the podcast, Chris.
Hey, thanks so much. I really appreciate being on. And Jeannie's not here yet, but I hope that she'll be done with her makeup video soon and come and talk to us. But it's really great to be on with you again. Thanks for having me.
Hey, also on the show tonight, we've got a gentleman I recently met, a young man by the name of Tom. Tom, what is your last name? I forgot. I'm sorry.
No problem. Jampa. Tom Jampa.
Tom Jampa. Listen, before this podcast is over, Tom's going to share with you some news that if you live in Ohio and you are affected by an injury at work, you should get real excited about what you're going to hear. So let's get our podcast started. I want to start off by asking Chris, who is the – tell me a little bit about Federal Injury Centers.
Yeah, so Federal Injury Centers was created to solve the federal employee's biggest problem in OWCP, which is a lack of doctors. All across the country, regardless of the state, New York, California, the two most highest populous or population states in the country, have no or had no OWCP doctors, and that's the case in almost every state. And so what we did is we created a franchise like McDonald's so that we could rapidly expand and affect more people. So as a result, we've been able to grow so far to around 50 offices in 17 states and counting so that folks that are near those locations no longer have to suffer denied claims. Our doctor's expertise is getting claims accepted. And the epidemic problem in OWCP is denied claims. So being able to find a doctor that can get a claim accepted is it's sort of the whole ballgame. And so that's what we're all about. We have grown and are growing larger as fast as we can to help more people in more areas, but that's what Federal Injury Centers is all about.
How many offices did you say you currently have?
So it's hard to count because we grew so fast. In the last year, we went from 8 offices to more than 50. So I'm not even sure how many right now and how many are in process, but it's more than 50.
Outstanding, man. You know, podcast audience, I met Chris and Jeannie about 3 or 4 years ago, and we shared information. I used to, in the past, I hosted a small podcast video, and I met Chris and Jeannie, and let me tell you something. The information you're going to hear tonight, you can go to the bank with that. Not often do you hear me co-sign someone's opinions or what it is, not opinions, the facts that they're going to share. Well, you get that co-sign tonight because, and let me tell you, I was just recently introduced to the gentleman, Tom, and it sounds like when I talk to Tom, the voice is different, but the information is exactly the same. So I know the information coming from Chris, and I'm excited to share that with you on the show tonight. Hey, Chris, what inspired you? What inspired you to
I understand the question. What inspired me to start doing what I'm doing and why we're all here helping federal employees with their work injuries. About 20 years ago, I started working in the healthcare industry, and by around 2007, 2008, I started helping injured federal employees in Texas. We became the practice I was with, became the largest federal workers' comp practice in the country, which made it the largest in the world. But I realized we're only helping people in Dallas-Fort Worth. This is federal. There are 50 states. I'm in one city. So we started this company and said, hey, we're going to help people all across the country. And thankfully, I met Tom. There's a funny story that goes with that we'll have to talk about sometime. But meeting Tom really helped expand this thing because, you know, if you know anything, you know you're not going to do it by yourself. It's too big. And so, you know, we're like-minded people that have the exact same knowledge, and we've got a team of people behind us. And so we're able to go pretty much anywhere, anytime, and help any person with any claim. And that's a nice thing. And it's what was lacking prior to this.
Well, I know for a fact, as one who dabbled in OWCP and helping employees with different CA forms, it is awesome to have a facility that understands what it is that you're entitled to, because most people don't fully understand workers' comp. Not everybody's entitled to that. There's a select group, senators, congressmen, they're in that group. So if you understand this process, trust me, it's designed to help you. Hey, Chris, so I know you work with a lot of postal installations because every time I look on Facebook, there's a new state opening up a federal injury center. What would you say would be one of the most misunderstood elements that postal employees have about this injury comp process?
I'd say the most misunderstood thing that they have is it's a combination of they don't know they can choose their own doctor. They think they have to go wherever the supervisor sends them. And generally, not generally, I would say 100% of the time, if a supervisor sends you someplace, they're sending you to a certain denial. It's absolute. About 1 in 13 federal employees has an accepted claim. So that's a clue. Okay, what happened to the other 12? Well, they went where the supervisor told them to go. Or the next thing is they think they're going to be fired. And so the reason that other 12 doesn't have an accepted claim is because they're scared to report. And so the big misconception is, A, I have to go where I'm told to go, or B, I'm going to be fired. And the truth is the number one way to protect your job is to get your claim accepted, because then it's illegal to fire you. So that's a huge misconception. And that's why we focus so much on the accepted claim process, because we know the best way to protect someone is to get their claim accepted. The supervisor, is up against it when your claim's approved, because all the laws are there to protect you. The laws aren't there to protect management. Management has to abide by laws that are meant to protect the employee. And that's something that's not well understood.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more with that. And especially when you spoke about employees' fear being terminated. I'm currently assisting two employees who are calling me every day who got injured at work. Did I get terminated? Just calm down. Take it easy. You know, we'll get to that. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, I just want you to get better now. But that fear of being terminated for reporting an injury, that's not going to be easy for postal employees to understand that you have rights. And when you understand if you get hurt at work and they can't fire you, maybe you'll be more apt to go ahead and seek medical attention if need be.
Well, that's exactly right. And I don't know if you know this. Hopefully some people in your audience have already seen it, but I wrote a couple of books called Breaking OWCP. And Kenny, you didn't bring me on here to promote my book. I just want to tell everybody that. That's not why I'm here.
Yes,
however, it's important. I appreciate it, but it's important because I wrote this book for the people. It's not for me. But I have a chapter on there on rules, laws, and regulations. And it's really interesting because it says here that, and I want to find it, the United States Code, which is law, right, and the Code of Federal Regulations. They both say that it is a crime to prevent you from reporting your work injury. It's a crime punishable by fines, imprisonment, or both. The United States Code says whoever induces, compels, or directs an injured employee to forego filing an injury claim shall be fined, imprisoned, or both. But you know what that doesn't say? It doesn't say that if you want to report your injury, they can prevent it. It says they can't prevent it because they can go to jail. So most people don't understand the law is there to protect you. It supports the person. You know, it's not supporting management.
Now, as I told you in the beginning of this show, this is that podcast that you're going to hear information that you're not going to hear anywhere else. Now, tell me, where have you heard this kind of information? And again, if you education without application, we're just wasting our time. So now, if you hear these words and you understand there are references that support you not being terminated or you being afraid to file a claim, I don't know what else we can present to you to show you that that's part of the rights. Everybody's not afforded those medical opportunities, and you are. And if you need them, then you should take advantage of them.
Well, that's exactly right. I think, Tom, I want Tom to get in here. Tom, you used to say something about who OWCP was written by and written for. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so OWCP law is written by government employees, higher ups. The law gets passed through the Congress as a whole, you know. So this means that this law was written for the government by government employees. That means that they're going to put special protections in there. And a lot of those special protections have been just made the law of the land now. So there's not a single state in the United States that if someone were to report, and this is federal or private, if anyone in the United States is fired for reporting an injury, it's a major, major problem, and it's defensible in every single state, you know. So this program, even though the protections are for federal employees, the law is written that it extends to the private sector as well. So OWCP is specifically just for federal employees, but those laws stating that you can't get fired, that's for everyone. And so this is not a scenario where federal employees got to be saying, hey, you know what, I can't report this, or they think they have some special rights, but this is the right of every single person that's in the United States right now. Every employee is protected. No one can be fired for reporting a work injury. And if that's the case, you need to call the Department of Labor right away.
And both employees, as I say to you, or federal employees, if you understand your rights, there's a reason you have these rights. You have to stop being a bit timid, for lack of a better phrase, in using these rights, if that makes sense to anybody. But you know, the other day...
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
The other day, I happened to be... Well, about 2 weeks ago, actually, a supervisor gave me a flyer from the Department of Labor pertaining to CA1s and COVID. But before we get to that CA1 and COVID part, I was introduced, and it may be old, maybe new, I was introduced to a website called ecomp.dol.gov, and it's where you can file all your injury claims. Now, before we talk about any of these claim forms, Chris and Tom, tell me what you feel about, what you think about that, the eComp.
Well, I'll go ahead and jump in there. I think eComp is, I'll let Tom jump
go
in
ahead.
There. Sorry, Tom.
No problem.
We're both very excited to have this conversation, Kenny.
Yeah. Look, the fact of the matter is that when Chris and I are together, we often, you know, fight over who gets to talk at union meetings or who gets to go first and stuff like that. So it's no different on the podcast.
The fact
of the matter is that the government has put together a great website called eComp, ecomp.dol.gov. This is it, okay? It allows almost every federal employee to jump on there, circumvent their supervisor, okay, and fill out their CA1, CA2 directly on the government's website. Okay. The reason why I say circumvent the supervisor is because one of the reasons why people have a hard time filing claims is they don't want to get in front of their supervisor. There's an intimidation factor there. They are worried about getting fired, and now they have to go to their supervisor and say, hey, can you help me out with this? If there's a contentious relationship already, this would just, you know, create even more problems in that relationship. So with eComp, that allows you to jump online, okay, register with your government credentials, and then file your forms directly on the government's website. Once you hit the submit button or the send button, what ends up happening is it does send an email to your supervisor having them fill out page 2 of the CA form. Okay. However, the difference is this, is that OWCP has now been notified that you have put a claim in. Okay. And they're going to go ahead and kind of quarterback this from day one. So when people say something to the effect of my supervisor's not allowing me to go ahead and submit my CA1 or my CA2, jump online, use eComp. This is exactly why this thing was developed, is to help you out, help you get your claim started so that you don't have to be face to face with a contentious supervisor if you have one. Okay. Also, it allows for immediate submission directly to your case file. So in the case of, let's say, a doctor's office like we are, we can go ahead and submit narrative reports directly to OWCP without having to submit them to your supervisor first. Okay. I will tell you that supervisors are not MDs. Periodically, they ask for documentation like narrative reports, and we don't personally give them to them. However, we will e-comp everything directly to the government. And if necessary, your supervisor can go ahead and call human resources, and they can get that stuff directly from eComp. But this allows you to go ahead and submit your claim directly to the government without having to deal, quote unquote, with your supervisor. It's a great system, and everyone should be using it.
Yeah, I agree, and I want to add to that you know, I love law. I like to use it as our defense, and when I say our, I mean us and the federal employee, because we're all in this together. And the law, the Code of Federal Regulations says that the employer shall complete their portion of the CA 1 or 2. Not maybe if they feel like it. Shall. It's absolute.
Exactly.
But the law says within 10 days of the receipt of notice from the employee. So when you use eComp, there's a date, a timestamp, so to speak, as to when the employee filled it out. The supervisor has 10 days. If they don't, there's a penalty. And what's that penalty? It's a crime to prevent someone from reporting their injuries. And so when the supervisor won't do their job, they're preventing this person from getting help. And when I interrupted you earlier, I was going to tell you that OSHA even says the same thing. OSHA says it is a crime to prevent someone from exercising their rights under the law. The sixth employee right, according to OSHA, is the right to report a work injury. So it's a crime. It's another place that it says it's a crime. So, you know, when your supervisors don't do their part, a great next step is 1-800-321-OSHA. It's the easiest phone number in the world to remember. It's way easier even than our phone number, 1-800-321-OSHA. And then you can call and just ask, hey, is this a violation? Because a lot of people don't want to make accusations. But they can go to OSHA and say, here's what happened. I'm not able to get help for my work injury because my supervisor isn't doing their job. Is this a violation? And when it is a violation, OSHA doesn't just look at that one case. They look at every case. And no supervisor wants that. So that's one thing I love about eComp. It gives us a paper trail. We have timestamps. We know it's been 10 days or not.
And how many times, particularly postal employees, have you given claim forms or any forms to your supervisor? And because they're trying to move 1,000 miles a minute, those forms just magically disappear. Now, you're sitting here waiting for an answer. Go ahead.
As I say, they accidentally get lost in the trash can, right? You know, another thing, speaking of my book, I have all these free forms. I like people to go there for this. But if you go to breakingowcp.com, there's a tab that's called free downloads. And, you know, with all of our years of seeing the problems that the folks are having, we're able to solve some of them. And so one of the ways I've been able to solve them is I made these forms. They're not official OWCP forms. They're mine. But I've got one that assists people in reporting their injuries. And on the form, it actually has the laws that the supervisor are breaking if they don't allow them to report. So we just put the supervisor on notice right here. I'm going to report my injury. This law will be broken if you don't let me do it. And then we all remember 1-800-321-OSHA.
You know, one last thing in reference to eComp, you know, if your agency for some reason doesn't allow you to use eComp, okay, not every agency allows that, all right? So if that is the case, I would go ahead and put up make us think about it because it's a far better system than handing in paper forms. However, if you have to go the old route of using an actual CA-1 on paper or CA-2 on paper, when you download those from the Department of Labor or get it from your supervisor, there is a page in there, and this is required. Don't ever let a supervisor just give you page one of either the CA-1 or the CA-2. There's four pages to those documents, okay? And each document has a notice of receipt on there. And right on it and in the instructions on both those forms, it says – it is the patient, it is the employee's right to have that receipt filled out. And I will tell you that if you can't use eComp, do not walk out of that office without having that receipt signed. And in many, many cases that we have seen over the course of our years doing this, supervisors have lost them. They've got accidentally thrown in the trash. They have been on purpose thrown in the trash. Supervisors will go on vacation and not file the documents. And the only person who suffers at this point is you. So do not, if you have to use a paper form, do not walk out of there without having that receipt signed.
Yeah, and that's right. And to add to that, hey, look at me with laws. So that one that said that the supervisor shall complete the agency portion of the CA-1 or 2, guess what it says at the end? It also says, and give copies of both sides of that to the injured person. What happens is people leave their supervisor, and the supervisor says, I don't have to give you that, the second page. And which is very cowardly. And if there are any supervisors listening, just know, yes, I just called you a coward, and I meant it. Because when you don't give that second page to the employee, they don't have a chance to argue the negative things that you wrote. You know, a supervisor can write that it wasn't in performance of duty or that it was due to willful misconduct, intoxication, intent to injure themselves or another. The supervisor can say that my knowledge of the facts of the case don't aren't the same as what the employee said or the witness said. And the last thing on that second page says that the supervisor may want to controvert continuation of pay. I mean, wouldn't you want to know if they're not going to pay you your COP? So supervisors often don't want to give that second page out. And the reason they don't want to give it, if they don't, is because they're cowards. And they wrote something on there that they're not proud of. So you make sure, because the law says they have to, that you demand copies of it if you have to use paper.
Well, I just always use, as a general rule, if you are doing any type of transaction that involves paperwork and the person you're transacting with won't give you a copy, then you definitely want to put that third eye on them because something's not right.
No doubt.
Listen, exactly. did Jenny just join the podcast?
I believe she's on.
I'm here. How are you?
Hey, Jenny, how you doing?
Good, good. How's everybody doing?
Great, great. I seen the number pop up, so just had to introduce.
Not a problem. You guys carry on. I'm trying to share it here for you guys.
Okay. Okay, so we're talking about eComp, and again, me personally, I would tell every posted employee to just log on to eComp and create an account. I mean, that would just be my advice, but especially those employees who may have been involved in any kind of accident at work, because I find that, and it is understandable, a lot of new employees, so many new employees are coming into work at the post office, and they are under the false illusion, and I do mean false, that the supervisor knows the steps of the process should something happen to them at work. And I want to tell every employee that will listen, that's not the case most times. And just a quick example of what I'm talking about 2 years ago, there was a now a clerk in Columbus, Ohio, who worked as a letter carrier. During her probation, slipped and fell and broke her wrist. Now, you would think postal management is going to get you to the hospital, see what's wrong with you. Well, in this particular case, they just told her to go ahead and punch off and go home. And I guess nobody would say anything because the rumor was you have an accident during probation, you get fired. So this lady went home, wish was bothering her, went to the hospital, got a cast on it, came to work the next day. Nobody offered her a CA1. Nobody did any other accident investigations. But what she was confronted with was, here are your choices. You can resign or you can be fired. That was the only choice they gave her. And let's fast forward 2 years later. She comes back to the post office. She's now working as a clerk. Well, that wrist that she broke is now starting to bother her. So we're within our three-year filing period. But, Chris, would you believe that CA1 went to four different managers before we just decided we're sending it through e-com? Every manager who touched that CA1 said they can do nothing with it because they have no knowledge of that accident.
Yeah, I believe it. In fact, a similar thing happened in another state, in Alabama, in fact. And it was an APWU steward called me at home and told me that somebody got hurt, and the supervisor said, like you said just now, the supervisor said, your best course of action is to resign. And before I could tell her what to say, see, she had already been through the steward training that I did with her. She said, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to call OSHA, and we're going to file a complaint. Well, that's exactly right. We're going to file a grievance. I said, that's exactly right, too, file a grievance. Well, OSHA came in, and that postmaster and supervisor don't work there anymore. Okay, that's a powerful tool. And that you should resign or be fired, those aren't in the law. Okay, the law says you get help. It doesn't say you resign or get fired, and nothing pisses me off more. You know, the people are treated so badly because they're new. They don't know anything. Or if they could be on the job for 20 years, they don't know anything. Because nobody's teaching them about OWCP. I'm sure there's not a chapter in your training manual at the post office on what to do if you get hurt, even though it should be. So instead, the postal management in these instances that we're talking about are just abusing the people based on their lack of knowledge. And I want to say, this is my segue. So Jeannie and I do a live show on Facebook every Wednesday night, tomorrow night as well, at 8 p.m. Eastern, called Wednesday Night OWCP Chats. We teach this stuff so that if you get hurt, you're not the next one that gets hurt by the supervisor, because the pain of the system is far worse most of the time than the pain of the injury, and it starts because of the management have bad intentions. They're malicious. But we can prevent it. We can stop all of it just by knowing the rules and the rights. So that's what we're teaching, Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. at Wednesday Night OWCP Chats. So you and I have Facebook pages with our names on it. My Facebook page says Chris Helms. This page is called Wednesday Night OWCP Chats, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday nights. We can stop all this just by informing the public, just telling you what to do. And that's what we're doing there.
And let me say,
Ken, I just want to jump in and say something real quick before we change subjects. You know, it's irrelevant how long you've been with the agency. It's also irrelevant if you're on probation or not. We had a gentleman get hurt in Massachusetts on his first day delivering mail. Okay, his trainer was out with him, saw the accident, and the trainer said to him, "Well, here's the deal, man. It's your first day. You don't have workers' comp yet. You don't have any time." That's 100% false. That's 100% false.
All the way.
Does it make a difference how many days you've been at the agency? This gentleman was out delivering a mail his first day, slipped and fell. And this was one of those things where he ended up hitting his head. And when you looked at him, you just go, okay, nothing, maybe a little bit of bruise. But he had closed head injuries. He had injuries inside his brain that you couldn't see, and he was affected. And he'd be permanently affected for the rest of his life. He ended up, because he wasn't full-time yet, they let him go. He did file his claim. We got it accepted for him, and they were forced to see if he wanted to get rehired. But he didn't go back, because why would he go back to a place that is not willing to take care of him like that? you know? Yep. And I just want to get that out there and just basically say it's irrelevant if you're on probation. It's irrelevant how many days you've been there. If you've been injured, you need to file. It's your right.
That's
once
right.
Again, if you've been injured, you need to file. I mean, again, now there are bumps and bruises that maybe you shake off, but
sure.
If you go home, you're swelling, and you feel the effect of what happened to you at work. It's not too late to file. And to close that story out about the young lady I was talking about, when she tried to file her CA-1, they told her she had a year. But see, I'm a student of the Wednesday night chats also. I know it's 3 years.
3 years.
Exactly.
I'm a student of the Wednesday night chats also. So I know it's 3 years. So when I heard about it, we went into action. She's still got about like 4 more months under 3 years. But now, again, continuation of pay period is gone. But they need to accept that as a on-the-job injury so that they can find a better job for her to do now, because what she's doing right now is just exacerbating that old injury. But here we go,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, hey, and that three-year thing is exactly right. We had, you know, with this Wednesday night OWCP chats, we answer questions. You go on there, ask a question in the comments. I'm going to answer it in real time right now. But we asked somebody asked us a question, we answered, and they said, well, that's not what my supervisor said, so I'm going to do what my supervisor says instead. So for everyone that's listening, I want you to know, if you do what your supervisor says instead of what we say, you're probably going to fail at this. It's probably going to be a denial.
Yep.
Because your supervisor either doesn't know anything or is going to act like it, which is malicious. And you said 3 years, and so the Code of Federal Regulations is really clear. A notice of injury must be filed within 3 years of the injury. People are told all the time that it's got to be in 3 days, 2 weeks, 30 days, 45 days.
30 days.
None of those are real. You have 3 years. The Code of Federal Regulations and the United States Code both agree. So it must be real. It's 3 years.
So we have all these new employees now, particularly in the facility in which I work. So I know what they're about to hear right now. They probably never heard before. But Chris or Tom, would you take the audience through what should happen if you are injured at work?
Go ahead, Tom.
Sure, I'd love to take you through that. So there's two major types of injuries when it comes to getting hurt at work at a federal job. Okay, one is a CA-1 injury. This is an injury happening on one shift only. Okay. This would be something like a car accident, a dog bite, a slip and fall, something of that nature. The second type of injury that you can have is what's called a CA2 occupational disease injury. Okay, this is an injury happening over a minimum of two shifts. Okay, but it's usually weeks, months, if not years. Okay, this is going to be something like osteoarthritis of any joint, really, rotator cuff problems of the shoulder. Carpal tunnel, plantar fasciitis, these types of injuries there, okay? The number one thing to do once you realize you have a work injury, okay, so in the case of a CA-1, it's pretty easy. If something fell and got hurt today, you need to report your injury today, okay? Or at the time that's most appropriate, you know, if you have been hospitalized or something like that, okay? In that case, someone else can actually file the claim for you. But it's very, very simple. In fact, if
like
you go to Federal Injury Centers... Exactly, like a union rep. If you go to federalinjurycenters.com, we have how-to videos on how to fill out your CA-1, how to fill out your CA-2, and how to fill out your CA-7, 7A, 7B, and direct deposit form, okay? In the next several weeks, we're going to have videos up there on how to fill out your mileage reimbursement form, because this program is designed to make sure that the injured employee doesn't have to take a penny out of their pocket. So we make sure that you folks get all of your mileage back. And any medical costs that you've spent anywhere, there's forms in order to get those money, like co-pays prior to your case getting accepted or something like that. We can show you how to get that back. So when you realize you're injured, submit your injury claim right away. If you're going to go and you just pay for forms, you can go to federalinjurycenters.com. We have a forms tab there. You can print out your CA-1, your CA-2. You can fill it out. You can watch the videos, and it'll take you through the entire way through box by box how to fill these forms in, and you just customize it with your information, obviously. Okay. However, a better way than using paper forms right now is going on to eComp. Okay. If you got hurt today, jump on eComp today and fill out your CA1 form. If you don't know how to do that, you can watch the video on our website on how to fill it out while you're on eComp at the same time. Okay. Now that your form has been submitted, your supervisor has to complete page 2. It'll take and then they'll send that over to Human Resources. They'll do their little bit with it. Human Resources will send you a letter that basically says, hey, we heard you got hurt at work today. Yes, we're going to help you the entire way through. And it's such a great letter. It makes people feel so good. The reality is they're not helping anybody for the most part. Okay, I will say that there are certain folks in certain injury comp departments that are extremely helpful. Okay, but largely not. This is why you need to know the information for yourself. Once they have taken that information, they'll send it off to OWCP. OWCP will then issue you a 9-digit claim number. There's a little bit of misinformation or misunderstanding with that claim number. It does not mean your case is approved. It just means that you've been issued a 9-digit number, similar to your social, that has identified you in their system and matched you up with this number. So anytime something is submitted, it gets submitted under that number. Okay. Sometimes people will say, well, yes, my claim has been accepted already because I have this number. That's not the case. That's not the case at all. Okay. Now that you have this number, you need to get a narrative report written. This narrative report is the key that opens your case. Okay. It can't just be, I'll tell you one thing the government doesn't care about. They don't care that you had an injury today. What they do care about is how that accident, that slip and fall, whatever the conditions were, how did that cause the injury? What they're specifically looking for is something called mechanism of injury. Okay. If I were to fall to my side laterally, okay, and I put my arm out just like it's just a normal reaction in order to do that, and you fall with an outstretched arm, okay, falling in that manner is going to cause you to get hurt in a specific way. What your narrative report has to say is exactly that. How did that fall? How did that car accident? How did that dog bite cause the injury that you have right now? If your doctor simply states, John Doe went to work on January 1st feeling fine, had no symptoms, slipped and fell and bumped his head, you should open his case. This will never get accepted, ever. Okay, they want to know, how did the slip and fall cause the bump to his head? That's what they want to know. If your medical provider is not putting that together, the case will never get accepted. Okay, assuming that your doctor has put that together for you and e-comped it for you, the government will get it and they'll review it, and they may deny your claim. Now, here's something that you have to pay attention to. When your claim gets denied, the government sends a letter back. It's usually 5 or 6 pages, okay, and it tells you specifically why your case is being denied. This is now the blueprint in order to get your case accepted. Okay, people will see a denial and they'll freak out. I'm done. I'm over. And this is it's part of the process. Your case will get denied. Okay, so it's not a question of whether or not your case is going to go through or not. It will go through. Okay, but it's also going to get denied. Okay, once it gets denied, you have the blueprint on the back page of your denial letter. Is an appeals form. It lists out 4 different types of appeals on there. The one that we like to recommend the most is reconsideration. Okay, several of them are not relevant at this point, but one is a review of written record. This is largely junk. Oral hearing. People love going to oral hearings. In fact, they feel as though if they could just state their it's junk. If they could just state their case in front of the moderator, then once they hear the sincerity in their voice, they'll have to open the case. No, it's awful. That almost never happens. And what ends up happening at that point is they give you 20 days to gather the documentation and supplemental reports that you need in order to get your case accepted. Okay, in the case of a reconsideration, you have a year. So it really takes the time clock off and extends it out to a year. The last one is ECAB. That stands for Employees Compensation Appeals Board. This is a very long process. We do recommend people use this, but only at a specific time, and we'll tell you when that time is. But in the case where you get denied, reconsideration is your best bet. Okay, so you've gone to your doctor who's written you a narrative report. Yes, if you need therapy, physical therapy or rehab, you should start that as soon as possible. Okay, you do not want to wait until your claim gets accepted in order to start physical therapy. And the reason for that is because you could be healing wrong the entire time. could be healing wrong the entire time. So we can't control what people do at their facilities, but at federal injury centers, we allow injured federal employees to start their therapy before the case is accepted. Okay, and we do that because we know you're in pain. We do that because if you have to wait for your claim to get accepted, you're going to become worse over time and start the cycle of pain syndromes throughout the body. And it's ultimately going to make you having to go back to work much more difficult over time. Okay, so start your therapy. Record your mileage to and from therapy so you can submit mileage form and get every single dollar, penny that you've spent on your case back. Okay. Once your claim has been approved, now you can go ahead and fill out compensation forms. These are going to be your CA7 series forms. When I say CA7 series, the reason for that is because you have a CA7 form, which is a claim for compensation form, and then two supplemental forms may be needed. One is a CA7A and a CA7B. Okay. Now, the last thing, a part of this CA7 compensation process that people forget, and they screw it up all the time, and often the agency doesn't tell them, is that there's a form called SF1199A, SF1199A, okay? You can get this on our website, federalinjurycenters.com, under forms. Now, you can also watch the video on how to fill out your CA7. It takes you box by box for the CA7 form, the 7A, the 7B, and your direct deposit form, okay? If you do not submit that direct deposit form on your initial, on the first time you're submitting your CA7, you're not going to get paid. You will not get paid, okay? And the reason for that is because even though your agency has your pay information and likely doing direct deposit already, OWCP doesn't have it, okay? So one of the major reasons why people get denied on their first CA7 is because they haven't submitted the direct deposit form. So take that iron out of the fire and submit it. On the video, I specifically say that. Another reason why CA7s get denied is because they're not giving supporting documentation. Okay. If you told your agency you were out of work on January 1st to go see the doctor, you have to have a piece of paper that proves that you were there. So in our facilities, we give you two copies of everything that we produce for you so that you can submit one along with your CA7, and you'll have that documentation ready to go at the moment you can submit your CA7. And like I said, we have videos on how to fill out your CA1, CA2, CA7, and we're having more come out in the next several weeks. If your case gets denied, it's very important you do not give up, okay? What a doctor will do that does not understand OWCP is say, Kenny, yep, your case was denied. That means that this whole thing is over. Good luck out there, okay? You have an unlimited amount of chances to refute a denial in this program. Remember what I said. This program was put together by Congress, senators, and government officials, knowing that in the future they might have a need to refute these denials, okay? So you could quite literally do a million rebuttals to denials they put out, all right? Do not let someone say, your case has been denied, and you can do nothing about it. The likelihood is that there's a lot you can do, okay? In the case where your doctor doesn't know about the program, it's going to behoove you to go ahead and find another doctor that does. One of the things that you can do is go on to federalinjurycenters.com. There's a locations tab there. That's places where we have doctors. The government also has a website where they go ahead and list doctors that have become credentialed with OWCP. But here's the problem with those doctors. When doctors are learning or when doctors are signing up with an insurance company, and by the way, OWCP is just a fancy insurance company. That's all they are, okay? When doctors are signing up for insurance companies, they tell their billing agency, just sign us up with everyone. And they do, and that's, one of those is OWCP. The problem is when you call that doctor's office and you say, hey, I saw you on the government's website. Can you help me? And they go, oh, yeah, we take workers' comp. Sure, come on in. And then you get there and you go, well, it's federal workers' comp. And they go, oh, we don't know about that. So when you're calling a doctor's office, it's not federal injury centers, be very specific. Do you take OWCP federal workers' compensation? Okay. If they say, oh, what's that? You're in the wrong spot already. You're in the wrong spot already. You have to go to the next guy on your list. Often these doctors don't even know that they've been credentialed with OWCP and they have no understanding of it. So this website that the government has put out is just listing a bunch of people that have no idea what they're doing for this program. So that was a lot to say, but that is the general process of what happens. It's a lot. It can be confusing at times, but that's why we have many resources for you, ready for you.
Hey, Tom, you said a lot, but if I might condense this, how does this sound in comparison to what you just said? I got hurt at work. I went to the doctor, and then I went to federal injury centers. Can I leave it right there?
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
Kenny, you're seeing, I mean, Tom just went through, you know, the stuff that everyone hears me go through all the time. But you're going to mention something about Ohio coming up. I mean, that's what's happening there. I mean, you can hear. Tom knows this. Everyone knows who I am. Tom's generally behind the scenes. But listen, I mean, Tom has all the information I've got. And, you know, there are very few of us out there. And, you know, we're really thankful, Kenny, that you're here, you know, wanting to give this information to the folks the way you are. But if someone gets a chance to work with Tom, they can see. They're going to get everything they need. And, you know, we need more of us doing this, not less. So we're really grateful to be able to work with you and all the unions that work with us, too. It's really good. But, yeah, that was the most expansive explanation of what to do. I don't think I could have done any better.
But if I go to federal injury centers, I mean, you guys do claims management. So the forms that so someone will be there to guide that employee through each step of this process.
Kenny, our receptionists
yeah.
know this process. If they answer the phone, they know what to do. We are fanatical about training. All of our offices are required to be fully trained in everything. So, yeah.
So that's good to know. So employees or federal employees, just understand that, again, you heard a lot of information, but if you visit the Federal Injury Center, particularly in Ohio, and I got to take a moment and give a shout out to my new audience base coming out of Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville,
all
Florida,
right.
Hey, Kenny Hodge, Postal Podcast, appreciates the love that you're sending. Hey, Chris, do you guys have any facilities in Jacksonville, Florida? In the Florida area?
We're working on Jacksonville. That's my best answer. We're working on it.
Okay.
It's the largest city by square miles in the entire country. We're working on it.
Hey, Chris, the last time I talked to you, you had 8 offices, and you told me you were working on it. Now you got over 50, so Jacksonville, stand by. Here they come.
So you know we're working on it. That's exactly right.
Here they come. Hey, so once you file that CA-1, when you check, I had a situation last week, and I think I emailed Chris and Jeannie on it. An employee, for whatever reason, chose sick leave and annual leave as opposed to continuation of pay. And when they realized what they were not getting paid, kind of went into panic mode. And so when that happens to people, if that happens, my first question would be, why would anyone choose sick leave, annual leave over continuation of pay? I had a hard time trying to figure that out. But once it did happen.
So I know the answer.
What is that? Go ahead, tell
me.
Yeah.
So people that don't choose COP generally don't because they've heard through the grapevine, which is true, that if their claim is not ultimately approved, they have to pay it back. So imagine you take 45 days of pay, and then one day you get a demand letter from your agency, the post office, and they're saying, all right, we want our 45 days back. So who's got 45 days of pay just sitting on hand ready to go? And so that's scary if your claim is ultimately denied. But what if your claim is not denied? Well, you don't have to pay it back, right? And
right.
At federal injury centers, Tom will correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think I am. I don't think we've ever had a single person pay back their COP, ever. So
no, we've had a lot of people get threatened but never have to pay it back.
Never have to pay it back. But, you know, the COP is just one – it's one half of a bigger problem. And I know you don't have a lot of time left. We don't have a lot of time left here. But I want to say this. 100% of the time, when I see someone get hurt and then their life spirals out of control, it's because they didn't report their injury immediately. They waited, and so they didn't get access to a CA-16, which pays their medical bills for 60 days. And they didn't have COP, which gives them time off for 45 days. So imagine you're hurt, you didn't plan on that, and you have no way to pay your medical bills and no way to be off of work, and tomorrow you have to go back, but you're too hurt to do the job. So it's an awful situation. If you report immediately in the Lex COP, get your CA-16, and I mean demand it, because it's your right to have it, and they have 4 hours to give it to you. 4 hours to give it to you. If you have your CA-16 and your COP, then you can just make decisions on your health care, not based on finance. You can just go get better. And people that don't make that decision have a real hard time later on.
Can you please go back over that CA-16, the importance, one more time?
Yeah, so the CA-16 is a form that you get that pays your medical bills, your health-related bills, related to your injury for 60 days following the injury. It's only on a CA-1 claim that happened in a single shift. People go wrong because they say, well, you know, I'm just going to rub some dirt on it. Hopefully it'll get better. And then it doesn't get better, and now it's day 8. Well, on day 8, you're no longer going to have a CA-16. Now you're responsible for your own bills. And if you don't go to a Federal Injury Center's office, the doctor is going to ask you for your health insurance and co-pays and co-insurances and deductibles. You know, one of the rules at Federal Injury Centers is we never take a dime from anybody ever, no matter what. But we don't control the other offices or the imaging centers or the surgeons, right, or the pharmacies. Well, all of those bills are paid by a CA-16, but you must report within 7 days. And so we say report now. Right now. It just happened. Report now. It's the soonest possible time to do anything is now. And while you're at it, on box 15 of the CA-1, go ahead and elect COP, because you need to be able to be off of work if it's medically indicated to be off of work to keep you safe. So you get your CA-16 to pay your bills for 60 days, and guess what? You never have to pay that back. Even if your claim is ultimately denied, you don't have to pay back that. So, but people don't know about a CA-16, and supervisors generally refuse to give it. But the law is clear. If you report within 7 days, the supervisor shall issue form CA-16 within 4 hours. People don't get it. They should always get it.
So in most postal facilities, if you report an injury, they'll give you a packet of forms. They'll give you more forms than you need, but they won't give you that CA-16. They won't give you that 16.
Nope, exactly.
So
that's exactly right.
If you're hearing this podcast, understand that when you fill out that CA-1 and they send you to the hospital or within 4 hours, you should have that CA-16. And it is so important that you have that, because now you have what postal management refers to as a blank check when it comes to you paying for services directly related to that injury. So you have to know that, so that you don't start getting bills, or you don't have to worry about, I can't do this because I can't afford this medicine right now.
Right.
Kenny, I just want to say one thing in reference to that CA-16. I'm not going to take forever this time. A lot of times they go ahead and they don't even keep those on site anymore. So you go to your supervisor and you say, hey, I need to fill out a CA-1. Also, I need my CA-16. From that moment that you say, I need that CA-16, he's got 4 hours to give it to you. As long as it's within 7 days, okay, we're making the assumption that you reported immediately. He may go back to his file. He or she may go back to their file and say, well, I don't even have it in here. Demanded they call Human Resources and get it for you. Okay, Human Resources has the form for sure, and they can fax it over to the facility. So if they say, I don't know what that is, we don't have any here, I'll get it for you later. No, there's no such thing as later. It's now. And Human Resources has that form. So if your supervisor says, I don't have it, I don't know where it is, call Human Resources right away.
And
if HR says they don't have it, it's not true. But if they say it, go to federalinjurycenters.com. We have a copy on our forms tab. You can print it out and take it to your supervisor and say, look, I found one for you. Now let's get this done.
People, you got to understand how important it is. And again, I'm always out front telling you, if you understood and took advantage of the rules and regulations, and in this case, we're talking OWCP, that govern your work life, you would be amazed at the quality of work life you could possibly have. So you hear this information, but most times you don't take advantage of it. I can't tell you how many times in the facility I work, if someone gets injured, they'll sit outside the MDO's door waiting on the forms to come or to go get treatment, and it seems to take forever. And you just don't know, man. And you don't know because a lot of times you just don't apply. You hear this information, but the information that you're hearing right now is designed to protect you. You've heard nothing that goes against federal rules and regulations. You got to remember, they do not train postal supervisors to the adequate level to be able to handle an employee getting hurt at work. That's something that's not a part of their training curriculum. See, that's what happens when you get new equipment. Music just comes from everywhere. Hey, Tom, I was going to blame it on you, Tom. I was, man. But it wasn't Pavarotti, so I knew it wouldn't be you, man.
I was going to blame it on Tom, too. You should have just gone with it.
See, okay. Hey, well, listen, folks. Again, you hear this information now. You can get another dose of this information every Wednesday night on Wednesday night's OWCP chats with Chris and Jenny. So this information is being presented to you. I mean, you have to take the time and listen and understand and process it. Hopefully you will never have to use it, but I'd rather have it and don't need it than need it and don't have it.
Man, that's right.
Kenny,
before you go too far, tell me a little bit about the injury comp center. You said you have one in Columbus, Ohio, correct?
So we got one. It's in Westerville. Yep, it's 623 Meadow Park Road out there. If you jump on federalinjurycenters.com, go to locations. The address and phone number are right there. We also have one up in Cleveland that's very, very helpful as well. And you can find both those addresses and phone numbers right on our website, federalinjurycenters.com. But, yeah, the fact of the matter is that when people come in for all these offices here, I read every narrative report that goes out. Okay, so there's not a single narrative report that leaves these offices that I don't personally approve of myself, which is great because you want an expert looking at your narrative reports before they get submitted. Okay, all that being said, OWCP is OWCP. They might just deny it just because the wind's blowing the wrong way today. You know, but yeah, we got a great team in both locations. We're out there helping people right now. Getting ready for the new year in December, you know, with all of the Christmas and holidays and whatnot, the claims drop off because there's a lot of pressure on the agencies, and we're getting ready for January. So we're absolutely able to help you folks. And, you know, one of the things that we do to make sure that you're getting all the help that you need is we ask that you collect all your documentation and we review it even before you come into the office so we can already start putting a strong case together for you. Our number one thing when you come into the office, and this is at every federal injury centers, is that we have you collect your documents and submit it to our office prior to your first appointment to make sure that we can put an absolutely strong case together for you. Okay. Once we're done reviewing that process and we have a written plan for your case specifically, then we call you back up and have you come in and see our medical providers and start therapy. So everything that we do is just to make sure that you get all of your rights, and we make sure that you get all of them.
Yep.
Hey, before we shut this podcast down for this, Chris, any closing words?
Well, I just appreciate being able to be on and help your folks tonight. And I want to remind everyone to go to Wednesday night OWCP chats and check us out. Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We're there every week, and we never delete the videos, so you can always go back, and they're all titled so you know what the subject matter is. The key is you need this information, but if you wait until you need it to get it, it's probably too late. So we're there every week. Just like you are, Kenny, here helping, we're doing the same thing over on that page. And I'd like everyone to just check it out.
Hey, Jeannie, any words before we sign off?
Uh-oh.
Okay.
No, what Chris said and Tom said, they wrapped it up for me tonight.
She has no responsibility here whatsoever.
Hey, listen, we started to collectively come and crash your makeup video. Hey, listen, this is Kenny Hodge, and this is the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. I am going to continue to bring you information that is designed to improve or enhance the quality. of your work life. If you stay connected to the podcast, to Wednesday night OWCP chats, you are going to connect yourself to a fountain of information that will help you. I promise you it will help you. Hey, I want to say good night, and I can't thank the folks from Federal Injury Center, Chris, Jeannie, Tom, for being a part of the show. And I like the work that you're doing. And as far as I'm concerned, postal employees who hear my voice will understand that if you're injured, Federal Injury Centers, that's where you want to go. Good night, everyone.
Well, thanks very much.
Thanks for having us.